So for lovers of Australian sport, boxing in particular, and history, I've got something very special for you. We're going to have a chat about one of Australia's, well, he should be considered one of our greatest ever boxers. And joining us to have a chat about it is the author of a new book called Young Griffo, Steve Heil. Steve, how are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm well, thanks, Andrew. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Steve, tell us a little bit about Young Griffo. Where did he start his life?
He started his life in the rocks. He grew up in the rocks. He was fostered out when his mother died. They lived in Bendigo in Victoria. He was fostered out and grew up in the rocks and started out as a paper boy. He didn't have much education. He finished school at about 10 years of age and started out as a paper boy and got into a few scraps there, as they did. They had to fight for their territories. And he had a few bare-knuckle fights there and then was spotted by a couple of boxing trainers who got him into boxing.
I should establish that we're talking about someone who was born about 150 years ago, Young Griffo. His first boxing fight was the late 1880s, wasn't it?
Yeah, they were just paperboy fights, and then they had a thing called a paperboy championships, which he won every time.
Oh, okay. They should bring that back. What do you think about that?
Yeah, can't see why not.
Now, the thing about Young Griffo is he's a bit of an Aussie larrikin, isn't he?
He was lucky, really. He stumbled across into boxing because he was so naturally gifted and that was the thing that he could do and make money from. So other than that, yeah, he didn't do too much else.
The interesting thing about him, and when we talk about a lot of boxers, we think about their punching power, but he was more on the defensive side of things, wasn't he?
He had a lot of athletic ability. He could stand there and dodge punches. His mind and body seemed to work in sync together. He was very hard to hit. They said he lacked a bit of power. I don't know if that's true or he just enjoyed being in there and dodging the punches.
You get the impression that maybe he was like the original rope-a-dope. He would let a guy punch himself out before maybe finishing him off?
He did a lot of things like that. Like people talk about Muhammad Ali now because it's so well documented, but not many people know about Young Griffo. He used to talk to the crowd and talk to the other corners, and yeah, he'd talk all during the fight, really. So he was just a character in and out of the ring.
How many fights did he have, Steve?
In Australia, he had 175 fights without a loss, and then he went to America and had about another 70 after that, so a bit over 250 that we know of.
Yeah, so it's quite possible that he may have fought in fights that no one's even reported or possibly even fought under a different name.
Many times, I would say, that happened, yeah. There was no other sports back then, so boxing was so popular and, you know, they could have fought every week or even every night if they wanted to.
So was he a rich man from all of his victories in the boxing ring?
He should have been. He did make a lot of money from the boxing, but... He liked a drink of alcohol, and especially when he got to America, he became a pretty big drinker, and he used to perform a trick in a pub where he'd stand on a handkerchief and bet people for money, and he was a bit of an entertainer before and after the fights. Sometimes even before the fights, he'd have to be dragged out of the pub to go to the fight, and then he'd still win. He was an incredible guy, but eventually, obviously, as it does with everyone that drinks heavily, catches up with them.
It's an amazing anecdote. The thought that somebody could go into a pub and say, listen, I'm going to stand on my handkerchief, and if you can land one on me, you win the bet. But that's invariably how he managed to get a lot of his drinks, because no one could touch him, certainly not when it came to amateurs.
No, that's exactly right. Even the great Joe Gans had trouble when... Kid Levine, I mean, he fought all these champions in America and they all struggled with him and they all gave him a massive rap.
So did Young Griffo...
He was nicknamed the Ghost, sorry. They said he was there 1 second and gone the next. And
that is incredible.
It's going to be as simple as that.
You just don't see or hear of any kind of boxers like that anymore. I mean, in fact, I'm not even sure if maybe there has never been anybody like him to be able to be like a will-o'-the-wisp in the boxing ring to avoid the opponent.
And I have heard some comparisons, and people have brought up old times and old fights, old fighters such as Young Griffo, and his movement. And what they talk about people these days that have great movement and dodging punches, but that was all related to their footwork. He didn't move his foot. He just stood there, and it was all head movement. and reaction time.
That is incredible reactions, almost fighter jet reactions. So did he win world titles, young Griffo?
He won the world title in Australia in 1890. He won it off a guy who won it in America, and he came out and he beat him here. The Americans, for some reason, didn't recognise the world title fight, but later in life, after he'd passed away, they did recognise it as a world title. Only because Americans, being America, they wanted to, the world title to stay in America.
Sounds reasonably typical. It's almost a little bit like, you know, young Griffo, apart from your book, hasn't really received a great deal of recognition in Australia. In America, though, they have. They've included him in their Boxing Hall of Fame, haven't they?
Yeah, it's a funny one, that one. I don't know why. I've read some negative articles about him in Sydney as being a bit of a larrikin, but he was like that in America too, whether it's because he fought such big names as Joe Gans, Kid Levine, George Dixon. I mean, he fought them all and come up Trump, so... Yeah, and there was a book written about him in America as well, and he was in the Ring magazine 6 or 7 years after he passed away, and they still called him the cleverest boxer ever.
Well, there you go. That's young Griffo. I would highly encourage you to go and check out the book. Steve Hull, congratulations on writing it, and thank you very much for joining us on 2NM to have a chat about it.
No, thanks very much for your time, Andrew. Do appreciate it.